This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
News. I'm Dave Packard. President Trump saying his administration is asking for clarity from two federal judges who ruled that the administration must use supplemental funds to keep the SNAP food assistance program afloat during the government shutdown. Air traffic controllers haven't gotten any paychecks during the shutdown, and now the FAA says nearly half of all major air traffic facilities in the U.S. are experiencing staff shortages. FBI arrests in Michigan today. Director Kash Patel said a home was raided to stop a Halloween attack.
Sources now tell ABC News the FBI took action after undercover operatives monitored an online chat group. Law enforcement sources say the alleged plot involved firearms. Sources add the suspects took firearms training and law enforcement stepped in when the suspects mentioned Pumpkin Day, which they believed was a reference to Halloween.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. Three more bodies from Gaza transferred to Israel today for identification. In exchange, 30 bodies transferred from Israeli authorities to Gaza. This is ABC News.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
No Giannis, no problem. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. About an hour before game time, Giannis Antetokounmpo, dealing with knee soreness, dropped out of last night's game against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The Bucks put on quite a show. They went on to win 120-110, thanks to Ryan Rollins, playing defense and scoring a career-high 32 points. Head coach Doc Rivers.
He's just tough. You know, he's a tough kid, man. And we got a team full of, tough guys, resilient maybe is a better word.
NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named the NFC's Defensive Player of the Month.
It's always a great honor to get recognized by your accomplishments. But even though, you just understand more goals, we're working towards something bigger. So, obviously sit back, reflect, appreciate this month.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. SNAP benefits tomorrow going to go away. Look, Republicans are happy, gleeful, mission accomplished. And understand, the right-wing media, they're stuck in this, who do we blame more? Is it the poor people who need it, or is it the Democrats whom we hate and try to blame on everything? Because can't blame them. Republicans, no, they only control all of the levers of power. But never mind the elephant in the room. And understand, I think the message of blaming poor people is always the one they want to go to first, because they blame Democrats for everything. They don't get to really blame poor people, especially those poor people. Not our poor people. No, those poor people. And the email traffic I've gotten has been all over the map on that topic. The SNAP is worthless because, you can buy candy with it. And or the story of, the kid who was in college who went and got $100 in SNAP benefits and went and bought $100 worth of candy. And so, see what I did? Without asking the question of, what'd you eat the rest of the month? Clearly not understanding what it's like to be poor. I got a bunch of people going, it's all full of waste, fraud, and abuse, which tells me that people don't really understand what it is. You got folks saying, it's inefficient because, the Doge government working so well. And then there are the people who goes, well, you know, it encourages dependency, discourages work. We need a work requirement. Until you find out that, you know, more than 3/4 of the people who get SNAP benefits work. You're talking about a very small population of people who don't. But again, don't let fact and reality, don't let that get in the way. Now, there are some very real criticisms in my world for the SNAP program. The fact that it doesn't address the root causes of hunger or food insecurity. It doesn't ensure that we get good, high-quality food into people's bellies. No, because we don't want to pay for that. And it does have a social stigma attached to it. Look, I went through it myself as a kid. What we don't talk about is the reality that 42 million people rely on SNAP benefits each and every month to put food on the table, not to go out and buy candy, not to go live it up high on, you know, that I think it's what the average participant gets about $180 a month. The average household somewhere around $350. I got to tell you, I can't tell you the last time anywhere near $350 got me anywhere close to a month in our household. The sad reality is, and I go back to my childhood, if it weren't for ADC, aid to dependent children, if it weren't for health care that was around in the 70s for poor people, I wouldn't be here. And I probably wouldn't be here. And the sad reality is we've been kicking poor people for a very long time. And I can tell you horror story after horror story of being part of having to go to a store to get something because mom sent me there and said, hey, there'll be a little bit left over. You can get something, another butter bar, and having the cashier just, can he buy these, and the kind of embarrassment that comes with it. Still something I carry as an 8-year-old kid. And this isn't new. Kicking the poor is not new. We've just digitized it. We've just put it all over TV. We've just had an entire social media culture that thrives on it. When you understand that 42% of the recipients of SNAP benefits are adults, 39% are children, and 19% are the elderly, you start going, well, who are these people? The majority of SNAP benefits are paid to people in households, with people in vulnerable communities, children, the elderly, the disabled. Cutting all that off. This idea, they could just go get jobs. Well, on the children front, conservatives want that. They want your kid going and scrubbing toilets before school. The sad reality is what we spend on SNAP benefits, I think, is about $100 billion, and it sounds like a lot of money. $100 billion is a lot of money. We gave $40 billion to Argentina, right? It's about 1.5% of all of our federal expenditures. So it's about 1.5% of our priority as a nation to ensure that children go to bed fed. And this is one of those moments where you go, what kind of a society are we? What kind of a moral society? Because remember, our Republican leaders, these are the people who have staked their ground on religiosity. These are the people who have staked their ground on, hey, look at me. I follow that guy. You know, the guy who said, feed the hungry, we're cutting off SNAP benefits. Take care of the sick, we're taking away subsidies for health insurance. Clothe the naked, give shelter to the homeless. Gutting all of that stuff. And in the name of tax cuts for rich people, which it kind of, and maybe help me here. I would love my red hats who have been sending me all this stuff about how horrible SNAP is to explain to me, you know, how it is that we've rewritten the Bible to be on the side of the very wealthy when we've got 916 billionaires worth $8 trillion. You got 916 billionaires worth $8 trillion. And we're talking about a $100 billion program that feeds 42 million people? One would think, in this benevolent dictatorship of a world that we live in the benevolent capitalist class, that one of those billionaires would go, I gotcha. We're going to make sure that no child goes to bed hungry. No veteran sleeps in the cold. That work is rewarded. But that's not what we're doing. We're, again, taking this opportunity, because, again, conservatives will tell you, never let a good crisis go to waste. Taking this opportunity to kick those most vulnerable. And as I said a moment ago, you know, the reality is this program to me is vital for a functional society. Not just because I benefited from it, but because I think about that kid that's growing up where I did, growing up in that housing project. I want that kid to at least, at the minimum, have the chance I had the opportunities that I had. And understand, we can't do these things individually. It's why we have government. You want to end childhood hunger? We can do that collectively through our government. You want to end homelessness for veterans and for anyone? We can do that. We just don't have the political will, and we certainly don't have the politicians with the courage or the backbone to do any of it. And certainly, in this moment, think about Elon Musk's claim when all the AI jobs are gone and all the automation takes jobs away, that we're going to have a universal high income. We can't feed the most vulnerable. What makes you think they care about you? Want to hear your thoughts? Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. This day in labor history, ghosts and goblins are going door to door to gather up candy. But did you know that some of that candy is made by union workers? In Hershey, Pennsylvania, tagged the sweetest place on earth, you'll find the nation's chocolate center. It wasn't always so sweet for workers, though, who in 1937 tried to win union recognition. Then the company laid off some of the union organizers, claiming it was due to seasonal cutbacks. Outraged, 600 workers began a sit-down strike in the plant. Local dairy farmers, relying on Hershey to purchase their milk, grew increasingly angry at the strikers. They joined with workers not participating in the strike and other community members. The angry mob stormed the plant to oust the strikers. 25 strikers were severely beaten, and the sit-down strike ended. But the next year, the Hershey workers tried again to form a union. This time, they affiliated with the Bakery and Confectionery Workers International Union of America and established Local 464. They are not the only union members who help make Halloween sweet. Today, Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco, and Grain Millers Union Local 1 in Chicago, Illinois, makes Tootsie Rolls. If your candy of choice is Clark Bar or Thin Mints, you might want to thank the members of Local 348 in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Local 125 makes Ghirardelli Chocolate in San Francisco. Unfortunately, things are not always so sweet. In September of 2016, 400 workers at the Just Born Candy Factory in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, went out on strike. The company decided to change their pensions to a 401k for new hires and reduce healthcare contributions. They make such iconic candies as Peeps, Mike and Ike's, and Hot Tamales. One strike slogan rang out, "No pensions, no Peeps."
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, it's been interesting watching the right-wing alternative media world go into spasms over who to blame. Certainly not Republicans, but who to blame? Is it the poor people because they need the SNAP benefits? Or is it the Democrats? Because, well, it can't be, dear leader. Cannot be our unitary executive. No, no, no. And understand, this is all real predictable. But here to share some thoughts on, well, just how just how entertaining has the right-wing alternative media structure gone into the world of blame? I've asked Jason Campbell to come share some thoughts. He's a senior researcher over at Media Matters for America. You can check out their website, mediamatters.org. Jason, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, again, this is predictable because they do it every time. Whenever there's a moment where you can beat up on poor people, they don't miss their chance. But, you know, they want to beat up Democrats, too. So where are you seeing the win in the win column?
Yeah, I mean, the right-wing media is has no lack of options for people to victimize at the moment. It was interesting that as this week's gone on, the apparatus has sort of been splitting a bit on exactly who it is that they want to be sort of attacking the most. And there's a whole contingent that we see, especially from Newsmax and some of the Daily Wire hosts, that have really been aggressively attacking SNAP recipients themselves. A lot of them, you know, saying that they are ungrateful and don't deserve to have the program. Really, you know, sort of visceral and disgusting attacks on them as people, saying that a lot of them are overweight and that they could use a diet. And so that sort of language has really been percolating throughout the system, along with just sort of general calls to roll the program back, to limit the amount of people who would be on SNAP, to increase eligibility requirements, stuff like that. But then there's another contingent that is seeing a lot on Fox right now, actually, of pundits who are saying that this is an essential need for people to have, and blaming Democrats for depriving them of that during the shutdown period. So it's been a bit of a divide happening.
So is that divide based on the right kind of waking up to the reality that a lot of their viewers are getting SNAP? I don't know if you've been to a Trump rally, but, you know, I listened to you talk about the Newsmax folks going after the recipients, and, you know, it kind of sounds like a Trump rally, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to tell exactly what their motivations are, and a while in this job, and I've tried not to look too deeply into what the psychology of some of these pundits might be. I would say that it sort of depends on exactly who it is they feel they can get more gain from blaming. And there's a lot of people who think that, you know, just making this the Democrats' fault and saying that they're the ones that are taking a benefit away from people has more political benefit for them. Whereas other people might see this more as that, you know, the program itself is the problem, and this is a great opportunity to try to attack it.
Yeah, I got to be honest, you know, because the emails that I've been getting from folks all over the map, you know, from, you know, we should have this, to we need this, and Democrats are keeping it from me, and from, you know, the well, you can only buy junk food with food stamps, or there's fraud, and the messaging has been all over the map. So I'm not surprised that the right wing pundit world hasn't coalesced around a single message. And I think it is because it's so intertwined. When you got 42 million people, when nearly 80% of the people collecting the benefit actually do work, it's kind of hard to have that one message, I think.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think what's been so startling, maybe would be the right word that I would use in this, is, I mean, obviously, like, cruelty has been a sort of basic motivating factor of the MAGA movement for 10 years now. But the gleeful excitement that some pundits are showing to have this essential service taken away from people is really disturbing for me to watch on a daily basis. The sort of visceral attacks on individual SNAP recipients is horrifying to watch. And so it goes beyond just, I mean, I'm old enough to remember during the Obama administration when conservative pundits at the time were also attacking, you know, the SNAP program. That's not a particularly new phenomenon right now. But to see the really sort of visceral rhetoric that's used against recipients is disturbing.
No, it's predictable, though. I mean, and this is another one for me anyway, and maybe you'll come along. For me, this is another moment where they've always told us who they were. This is just confirming what we already knew, and you hit on cruelty. I keep saying the cruelty is the point. This is what they want. They want people suffering. They want people desperate and exploitable. And the weird thing is I know a lot of red hat wearing folks who they need that, because the jobs they have aren't paying the wages that they need to put food on the table. They're trying. And this is where I understand right-wing anger. I understand the red hat anger because, look, we were all told work hard, play by the rules. You're going to get ahead. You're going to be able to have an existence. And yet they're trying. It's just not working for them. And those the one lever that's helping them now under attack, even by their own people.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of betrayal is just sort of astounding that the people who are supposed to be, or who at least claim to be speaking for them, would be attacking this benefit to the people who really do need it. And as you said, this is not a small program. I mean, this is quite large, and 1 in 8 Americans receive this benefit, and it's really an essential service for a lot of people. And for just one example is that, you know, Newsmax's Rob Schmidt, a primetime host, just says there is no food insecurity in America. The Daily Wire's Matt Walsh will make the similar claim that food insecurity is not an existent problem in the United States right now. And I think the people who receive the SNAP benefit would disagree with that.
You know, I talk about myself quite often on the program, and you know, I go back to my childhood, because if it weren't for ADC, which was before TANF and all of that, before SNAP and all that, we wouldn't have had food on our table either. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 70s, growing up, the child of a single mother in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland, things were not great. And it had not been for these programs, we would have been. And we didn't call it food insecure. We called it hungry. And yeah. And I'm so tired of this soft language. A lot of kids are going to go to bed hungry. Once this goes away, we're at the end of the month, the cupboards are already bare. If there's nothing at the beginning of the month to replenish that supply, children will go hungry. There's no arguing that. And to have someone say, well, there's no such thing, tells me that either they're really fortunate and privileged to never have been in that situation, or they're just full of, I can't say it. I want to. I desperately want to say that they're full of a steaming pile, but, you know, FCC. But that's where my thought is, and I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, I mean, it's true that, I mean, the right-wing media apparatus is in so many ways an echo chamber that's sealed off from much of reality. But when their rhetoric collides with an empty stomach, which it's hard to get more real than that, I don't know what the consequences of that might be for them, for their viewers. And so for the members of the right-wing media system that are sort of just blaming Democrats exclusively, that might, you know, be a safer strategy to go through this for their political benefit. But for the hosts that are really going out and blaming SNAP recipients themselves or saying they don't deserve to have it, I'm not a political analyst, but I'm very skeptical of the wisdom of that strategy.
No, I'm right there with you. So on the first, when this freezes, ends, and look, we hear conservative politicians who are kind of giddy that we're going to kill this off. What does that mechanism look like then? Because, you know, food banks are already overworked and understaffed and underfunded. States don't have the revenue to pick this up. Do we have a sense of where things are going? Has anyone been talking about the reality of what's next?
So I can't really speak to the policy issues or for what's happening in Republican politics, but I will say on the conservative media system that I've been hearing a lot of hosts saying that, or a lot of pundits in general, whether they're hosts of shows or not, saying that this is an opportunity actually to very seriously revamp the SNAP program, that, you know, we should look into eligibility requirements. We should really scale back. Newsmax's Rob Trinity, for example, has brought up the point a couple times this week that maybe everyone should just reapply for the program once it goes back into effect to make sure that, you know, the people who are receiving it really deserve to, you know, have it. One thing that has been coming out that I've found particularly noxious is that some pundits have been saying that there should be drug or even weight testing for people to see if they really should qualify for this program, to increase the amount of disrespect that is just being thrown upon people who receive this is astonishing.
Didn't we already do the drug testing thing in states like Tennessee and realize that you wasted far more money on drug testing costs than you caught anyone? Because the reality is most people who need this benefit need it to feed themselves and their children. And there's, for all of the talk of waste, fraud, and abuse, it just really isn't there, because it should be something. And this is the weird part for me, Jason. This should be something conservatives are thrilled with. We're giving money to people for them to act in their best interest in the market to feed corporate America. I haven't heard Walmart complain yet when Walmart gets 26% of all SNAP dollars. I haven't heard corporate America going, hey, wait a minute, our welfare is being taken away yet. I'm curious, you know, how it is that they're completely missing what their ideology says they should be behind.
Consistency in MAGA ideology is something that I've stopped trying to find a long time.
No, I got you.
You have some typical elements of it that have been coming out. I mean, obviously, immigrants or just anyone who wasn't born in the United States and non-citizens have been like particular, you know, targets of the right-wing media ire during all of this. A lot of the TikTok videos that they show of people talking about losing SNAP benefits often are, you know, a lot of Black women or just Black people in general. And so they're getting, you know, a lot of attack right now. So there's a lot of sort of consistent elements of the attacks that the right-wing media system is using right now. But yeah, I mean, it raises very serious questions of, you know, I would feel that if I was receiving an essential benefit and I was watching a media that's supposed to be talking for me, actively working against my interests, it would make me very seriously question whether or not this media system is actually working for me.
Yeah, you're right. How much of this, since you brought up that last point, how much of this is racial undertones? Because here's the thing. I know a lot of white people who are collecting. In fact, there are more white people collecting SNAP benefits, as I understand, than Black people. And yet it's become in right wing circles. And correct me if I'm wrong. It's been kind of almost a dog whistle of, well, we know who those people are. And I don't think we do.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you used to be more difficult to read between the lines sometimes with what people were saying. And there are no dog whistles anymore. It's just very loud shouting all the time exactly what they mean. And, you know, when Newsmax is running chyrons warning of lootings to come or you know, robberies to come, and they're just sort of playing streams of videos posted on TikTok of predominantly Black people talking about this, I think their message is quite clear.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would stop talking about it in that vein, because here's, for me, the opportunity that the right believes that they have to do away with this program. For me, is an opportunity to go from the old labor frame of when stomachs are empty, heads gets right, that you could turn this into a major political movement in that going, look, you know, they're showing us who they are. They're telling you they don't care about you. Maybe this is a moment where you could organize around the idea that that, you know, in the wealthiest country in the history of humanity, children going to bed hungry is something maybe we don't want to tolerate. And giving massive tax breaks to the very wealthy. You know, we've got 916 billionaires with over $8 trillion worth of wealth. I'm sorry, we can't afford $100 to feed a child. I think there's some easy messaging there.
I agree. I mean, it should be considered a sin that this country would allow anyone to go hungry at any time. And yet, you know, it seems to be that a lot of right-wing pundits are okay with that, or at least will also just deny that it even is happening. And that's sort of just a common hallmark of it, that reality is just a non-existent proposition inside a lot of the right-wing media ecosystem. Refusal to acknowledge basic facts of life and living in an echo chamber.
Yeah. Anyone, last kind of line of questioning, because, you know, anyone going, hey, this is essential. Anyway, I know I'm throwing this out as hope because I want to be fair that there are some conservatives out there who think that, you know, they believe in their Christian values of feeding the hungry and taking care of the sick. And I mean, their policies don't show it, but at least the rhetoric, anyone yet that you can point to going, hey, this, at least this guy's consistent in that messaging, anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, there have been people, especially on Fox News, strangely enough, you know, for instance, anchor Harris Faulkner has said that this is an essential service. And even Fox's Sean Hannity has talked about the need that people get from this and like the very important benefit it provides. And so what they are doing is using that to blame Democrats for taking it away from people. That's what that tactic is. So in my personal experience, it seems like a lot of the really strong rhetoric is going against SNAP recipients right now. But there is an entire other contingent of the media system that is saying this is an important service that the federal government provides to people and the state government provide to people, and that Democrats are the villains in all of this. So how that exactly shakes out once we're at sort of the end of this is interesting, although it should be noted that Fox News has been backing the Trump administration's claim that they cannot use contingency funds to cover the SNAP program in November, despite, you know, changing their initial policy that they had, which was that they could use those funds. And 25 Democratic attorneys generals are suing on this issue right now. So we'll see how that plays out. But it is an interesting divide to watch happening.
No, it is. And I thought there was this great tariff, this great pot of gold known as tariffs that we're paying into that they could easily choose from if they had the priority to help the poor and the working class instead of using them as pawns in this war on humanity. Jason, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Keep up the great work. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again soon.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much, Jason Campbell, senior researcher there at Media Matters. MediaMatters.org, the website, if you want to take a look at the work that they do. Want to hear your thoughts. Which side? Which, again, back to the labor frame. Which side are you on? Is it the Democrats' fault, or is it the poor people's fault? Or is it the system that's screwed up that allows us to have so many poor people? Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
From Richland Center City Hall to Madison, stay informed with Civic Media's Radio Network's news team. Learn more at WRCE.fm.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with drizzle tonight and lows in the mid-30s. Some sprinkles or drizzle tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy tomorrow afternoon, high mid-40s. Partly sunny, breezy, and highs in the low 50s Sunday. It stays dry to start next week as temps warm. It's 42 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
John and Cordy.
Now I can charge it any damn time I want. You know, I got a charging station now for my EV, my electronic space car, and I've got a charging station in the home now. It was installed. A lot of money, but it's done.
It's a stop by, John's.
Yes, house. Stop by. We're charging.
Bring your electric toothbrush. Plug it right in. We'll charge that up.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So here we are, what, a little over a month now into the government shutdown, and yeah, still as dysfunctional as ever, but it's the workers who are taking it on the chin, and it was always going to be that way. You know that. And you look at what's going on and all across this country as building programs that were supposed to help us generate the next generation of electricity, rebuild our infrastructure, invest in our future, now being used as, well, again, more pawns in this. And recently, you had Donald Trump say that the Gateway tunnel there in New York, that is going to be a huge economic driver for that region. Evidently a Democrat project, which is why he has terminated the funding for it. Now, you know, the transportation secretary said, well, maybe not terminated, under review, which means they're still going to try and turn the screw. And here to share some thoughts on what all of this means and what it means for the working people who depend on these jobs and these paychecks to support their family, I've asked Ryan Boyer to come talk with us. Ryan is the head of the Philadelphia Building and Construction Trades Council, also vice president over at LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America. Ryan, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, thank you. And I love your byline, by working people, for working people. And, you know, you just mentioned something that just gets at my craw, that we starting to call infrastructure projects that will employ thousands of Americans, Democrat or Republican projects. You know, I remember when there was no red United States or a blue United States, there was a red, white, and blue. But, you know, we have a commander in chief that doesn't think that way, that thinks that partisan politics, and that's going to hurt both New Jersey and New York.
Right.
I mean, this
not just them, the whole East Coast.
The whole East Coast.
I mean, that whole area, as a truck driver, someone who's driven in those on those roads, which are not red roads or blue roads, it is a nightmare there. And this project has been needed for decades. And for Trump to come now and say he's terminating it just because he can't figure out how to negotiate with Schumer is disgraceful on so many levels.
Well, it's really disgraceful. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and we saw the whole East Coast shut down when just a portion of I-95 was compromised. So this infrastructure for truck drivers and all the blue-collar workers and the construction jobs and how it connects, you know, the whole Eastern Seaboard, it is laughable almost that someone would be this petty to do this with so much at stake. And it lets me tell people that voted for Trump that this is who he is. When someone shows you who they is the first time, we should believe him.
Yeah, but that was back in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. He has shown us, Ryan, who he is. They wrote down in Project 2025 who they were. And yet some people still didn't believe him.
Now, 45% of the things that were in Project 2025 are either enacted or underway to be enacted. We knew that that was the blueprint and the game plan, and now he's doing it. So I can never understand, or I'm just going to educate our people on the issues and not the person, because sometimes when you put personalities in it, people are stuck. It's like when you shut down a project like this, this project is a project that's good for the American infrastructure. It is no doubt about it. The project's been vetted. The Gateway Project was a tremendous long-term jobs project, but it also would yield great benefit for alleviating traffic that we know. We go through the tunnels and the bridges to get to New York. It is horrible. They need a relief valve. You know, I've had the pleasure of running the Delaware River Port Authority, which ran the four bridges between Pennsylvania and New Jersey and Delaware and Pennsylvania. So I understand that from an acute level, how much traffic infrastructure means to the broader economy. And they would be great Davis Bacon union wage, family sustaining jobs where people don't, unfortunately, we have too many working people now on public assistance. So as you see, with the shutdown in the government, they're going to cut off food stamps. It was disheartening to believe that 79% of food stamp recipients in the great United States of America work full-time jobs, Rick.
Yeah, no, these are people who work for a living. But I want to go back to what you said a moment ago, because I think it's really important, because I look at, and I know you don't want to talk about, you know, the individual, but I have to, because leadership matters in my world. Yeah. And I look at the North Mag-a-Lago that's being built on the east wing of our White House. As I understand it,
by the way, Rick,
this is where I was going. As I understand it, done with private money so that they could avoid Davis Bacon, so that they could avoid prevailing wage, avoid PLAs, avoid all of the things that, I don't know. I look at the Tappan Zee when it was replaced with the Cuomo Bridge, done with a project labor agreement, paid with prevailing wage, done on time, under budget. And yet, we've got a president not even close to interested in any of that, Ryan.
Well, he's never been close to interested in it. I mean, you know, Mar-a-Lago was built that way. You know, all the construction on Mar-a-Lago has been done using private money so they can skirt the prevailing wage laws and the Davis-Bacon laws to pay people. And these laws weren't put in place by organized labor. They were put in place by contractors who didn't want to get undercut by unscrupulous contractors, unsafe contractors from other parts of poor parts of the country. So all these Davis-Bacon rates, prevailing wage, they were good for the American economy and the American worker. He's abandoned all those principles because he's selfish and self-centered. No one, and he only cares about his base and who kowtows to him. And, you know, these No Kings rally, he wants to be a monarch. Look who he wants to be. It's never been, he uses loving the working men and women of this country only to garner votes. And his one speech, and then the next speech, he'll say, I don't care. When he first opened, he said, I don't care if it's done union or non-union. All I wanted is done. Who says stuff like that?
Well, our unitary executive, our dear leader, our CEO president, because this is who he's always been. So no surprise here. But what I want to get back to is the fact that during this shutdown, the trickle-down effect has all been to working people and especially the working poor. As you pointed out, nearly 80% of the people who are getting SNAP benefits actually do work for a living. So this whole we have to have a work requirement is ridiculous, and the fact that the vast majority of people already have jobs that don't pay enough. The problem is they're not union jobs that pay good wages. So the question
then, is, Rick,
how do we take this and move that issue to where we have that conversation instead of blaming the poor and blaming those who are least able to defend themselves?
Rick, we have to address the elephant in the room, that SNAP benefits, state healthcare subsidies are put there to subsidize huge corporations that should pay family-sustaining union wages, right? If we look at the corporations that get bailed out of this, the Walmart Corporation, you know, the Amazon Corporation, they don't pay their workers enough, so they qualify for public assistance. Walmart sometimes have social workers come to the jobs to help their associates actually fill out for government-run health care. That should not happen with a corporation as big as Walmart. But in this country, we always feed corporate tax cuts off the backs of the working men and women. If we look at this big, ugly bill, now it's coming due. People are getting their subsidy notifications. In some cases, they're tripling, doubling, but in all cases, they're increasing. And who got the tax cuts? The major corporations.
Right.
This isn't a drill. We know how to do math, and it happened. They gave the upper 0.1% most of the tax cut, and they were doing well before that. We have an income inequality in this country that, in my opinion, is unsustainable. When your income inequality is worse than the Gilded Ages, if we want to make America great again, let's make America tax like it was when you, all this yesteryear that Trump and those people talk about, look at the tax rates. Look at the marginal tax rates for people over $1 million and look at them today.
No, I keep saying we need to dig up Dwight David Eisenhower's tax code because back in 1953, it was 92% for that dollar over $1.6 million in today's money. We wouldn't have somebody worth $500 billion.
We're going to have
that
a trillionaire soon, Rick. We will have a trillion. Yeah. At the rate that this income inequality is going, you're going to have a trillionaire. In this country, we're on the we have to save our democracy. It's not just what they're doing to the courts. Income inequality, I believe, it is the third rail once people realize and we understand how corporations are getting away with bribery because of Citizens United. They're bribing the government to have a tax code that's only friendly to the top 1%. That is unsustainable.
Yeah, but I'm going to disagree with you there, Brian. I got to disagree with you there, Ryan. They're not bribing anyone. They're just buying them. They're just buying the whole thing, and it's not even that they're trying to hide it.
They're not trying to hide it. You're right.
This ballroom is a perfect example. Yes. Google and Amazon and Facebook and all of them got billions of dollars, $18, $16, $15 billion, and they've given a couple million to build this monument, to this gaudy monument to greed and opulence.
You're right. It used to be very, they used to, you know, try to hide it. Now it's up in your face. It is gaudy. It is just like the president that they all trying to give tributes to. They give it to him publicly so everyone could know. So I would take that admonishment from you, Rick, that it is. They're buying them outright, and it is disgusting. And we as union leaders, we have to get the working families of America, be they union or non-union, and get our message out through shows like this. We need to have 100 shows like this instead of the corporate media giving us the corporate gobbledygook, because they are also funded by the same people that are buying the politicians. Yep. They're funded by 30-second ads, so they don't want to be hypercritical or even hyper-analytical of what's going on. And look, you have, they don't like what's going on and on TikTok. So now you have Larry Ellison making a play to buy TikTok, one of the biggest corporate. So now the media is corporate owned. So everything you get is a spin with a slant, like you said, blaming the victim. That works. A work requirement when almost 80% of the people already work, is, it doesn't make good sense.
No, but what it does is it makes us go somewhere else to look in a different direction. It's like the cat chasing the laser pointer. They put that laser pointer everywhere but where the real problem is. And as I say on this show all the time, we've known this for a century now. Jay Gould, the railroad magnate from the first Gilded Age, was famous for saying, I could easily pay half the working class to murder the other half, because they understood division. Well, we're in that, we're living that as we speak. And look, the SNAP benefits is a perfect example of that. You have 42 million people in this country who depend on that to put food on the table. And yet, Republicans can't figure out who to blame. Is it to blame the poor people, or is it blame the Democrats, instead of blaming the system that's created this? And you and I, and I know we have a shared background. For me, if it weren't for ADC, our cupboards would have been completely empty as a kid. If it weren't for some health care, I probably wouldn't be here as a child. So for me, these programs aren't just ideological in my world. They're near and dear to my existence.
Oh, listen, my mother had me very young, a single mother. So we were on public assistance. I had public insurance up until I was about 11 years old. And it saved me and it fed me. And so I have a very, very keen insight and feeling about the way they're trying to otherize these people. They're just human beings trying to make ends meet. And because they don't have corporate connections or daddy to give them millions of dollars upon his death, we shouldn't make them feel any worse. We should take care of our most vulnerable people. That should be a principle of America, and we're losing that. Americans used to have the virtue of work hard, but we take care of our weak, our sick, and our poor. And we're starting to abandon taking care of our poor. And once we do that, we lose the moral clarity to be the leaders of the world. If America is going to be the leader of the world, then we must do better with taking care of our poor, because the hypocrisy that we're showing to the world is going to be on full display as we see food lines happen in the richest nation in the history of the world. That would be sad to see food lines while we have people worth $500 billion.
No, and the sad reality is it takes this kind of a tragedy, a shutdown, something, some cataclysmic event, for us to realize there are 42 million people, Ryan, 42 million people in this country who don't earn enough to put food on the table. And again, back to your point, nearly 80% of them, no matter what Mike Johnson says, no matter what the Republicans say, nearly 80% of them go to work, punch a clock, play by the rules, and still can't get ahead, just can't survive. And that, to me, that should be the organizing rallying cry. We should be reviving Coxie's army and marching in the streets. And well, I'm hoping out of this
we should
comes
do
that
I'm
kind of
be
organizing.
Honest, Rick. I believe that some labor leaders have gotten complacent, and we have lost the muscle to really fight. And I know I'm in an alternative universe when I've been listening to Marjorie Taylor Greene and saying, wow, she makes sense. And she's so sensible. And I know she's a craze, but she's right on this issue. So we should rally up everyone that's right, left, right, because everyone knows this isn't a moral issue. And we need to argue it morally. And we need to go to the Christian conservatives because if you're saying you're Christian conservative, Jesus left a message about feeding the poor, right? So we have to go right at him and say that the only thing isn't same-sex marriage or abortion for Christians. We have to come at the Christians. We have to come at our faith-based community as a whole, and we have to make everyone accountable for the silence, the deafening silence, as we're going to starve 40 2 million Americans.
No, I mean, look, you know, I don't remember Jesus saying anything about hating anyone, except maybe rich people. I mean, I do kind of remember something about the camel eye of the needle kind of thing about, you know, getting into heaven by being wealthy. I kind of remember some of that stuff. I don't ever remember him talking about hating anyone.
No one. And this hate and this dividing, the division of America, it has to stop. We have to value life, not only when it's in a mother's belly, but once the life is here. We're going to have a lot of children, because out of those 42 million, Rick, we have to realize that I think a vast percentage of them are children.
Right. No, and then here's where my point on this is, though, Ryan. Out of those 42 million, there's a Ryan Boyer. There's a Rick Smith. There are a bunch of people who it was a hand up. It was a hand to give you an opportunity to get an education, to go into the workforce and work hard, play by the rules, and to get ahead. So when I see stories like yours, I'm going, this is what we should be promoting, emulating, pushing forward. Because look, this is how this country was built, by an opportunity, but that opportunity having reward at the end of the tunnel.
But the opportunity has to be a real opportunity. They say a rising tide lift all boats, but if I'm in a rickety boat, it's not going to lift me. So we have to make sure that we have a fair playing field where we have great jobs with great education systems. And the basic necessity in Pavlov's hierarchy of needs, the first one is food. So we can't have people food insecure and thinking that they're going to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. So I call BS on all these conservatives, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You cannot do that if you don't have the basic necessities. And we cannot allow one zip code to determine the altitude in life.
Yeah, they didn't hand out bootstraps in my neighborhood.
No, that we didn't have bootstraps. You know it. Rick, as we look at this country, and if we're being honest about it, we've taken a turn towards cruelty. Cruelty. This is cruel. This is cruel punishment for people that did nothing wrong but be poor. That's we can't not criminalize poor. And that's what's happening.
They're working on it.
If you look at all the policies that's coming out of this Congress and this president, it is all meant to benefit his friends in the real estate community and the crypto community. What he's doing, self-dealing on crypto, if we don't look at that, and somehow that some of this stuff has to be illegal.
Yeah.
It is, they're openly benefiting companies that then give large donations to build this West Wing. And don't get me started on my internal conspiracy theory that you don't build a $300 million ballroom unless you think you're going to be there after 3 years.
No, we already know that, but this is a monument to, that's why I call it North Mag-a-Lago. Last question I got for you in last bit. So real quick, what out of this are you telling your members? Because, you know, clearly the building trades are our center right in a lot of cases. A lot of my building trades friends voted for Trump on a bunch of the issues, immigration being part of that. What's the message for them in what's happening? Because understand, we live in alternative realities. I know a lot of my trades friends aren't seeing the same things we're seeing. So when they hear Ryan Boyer speak as head of the building trades in Philadelphia, as vice president of LIUNA, what do you want them to know? What's the message?
Well, the message has been easier because he came and he promised some building trades people that he wouldn't affect their jobs. And we have a hydrogen hub in Philadelphia called Mach 2 that he cut the funding for, and he cut it off. So it's a lot easier message. And we point to the Gateway Tunnel project in New York City, and we just say, look, he's against you. He used you. Don't be mad. Just get even by voting in the midterms. We have we cannot give him a blank check. And by giving him control of the Congress and the Senate, we're giving him a blank check. We can do something. The first thing we can do is beat him in the midterms, and also pull your support and call your local congressperson now to put pressure on him and tell him that he lied. We already have meetings with Senator McCormick in Pennsylvania telling him the same thing, because we were assured some things that did not happen. And I tell him, look, I come from North Philadelphia, a poor neighborhood. when you say you're going to do something, you do the opposite. We call it a lie. I don't know what they call it in Washington, D.C., but we're calling it a lie in Philadelphia. And it's been a more receptive ear because of his behavior. Right. And they see jobs that they were counting on, that they were told, that was signed by President Joe Biden, are now being rescinded under President Trump. So there is nothing that you can say that meets reality. This is reality. You thought this was going to be a nice 5-year job for you. Now we don't even know if we have this job because he took the funding away.
No, excellent point. And what they call it in Washington, D.C., is it's Friday. That's what they call it. But Ryan, I appreciate the time. Great stuff. I hope you'll come back and share some more down the road as this unfortunately unfolds. But thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. I'll be back. As long as I'm invited, I'll be back.
Anytime.
I love what you have to do for the working people, and I want us to stand up and fight. The only thing we have is our voice and our vote, and we should exercise them as loudly as possible. Thank you, Rick.
Amen. Amen. Ryan Boyer, Vice President of LIUNA, the Laborers International of North America. Check out their website, liuna.org. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at thericksmithshow.com. What do you think? Did it make sense shutting those projects down? Does it make any sense whatsoever? No, I don't think so. Want to hear it, though? Rick at the RickSmithShow.com. Right back. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I gotta tell you, I really like Ryan Boyer. Good guy. Somebody who, look, got a great story. You know, like me, grew up in poverty, worked hard because of the labor movement, because of unions, was able to, live the American dream. Work hard, play by the rules, get ahead. And isn't that what we want for everyone? You know, instead of what we've been force-fed, which is this, punching down. Because all of these attacks on SNAP recipients is punching down. It's judging someone. And as I've said before many times in this program, don't ever let me catch you bad-mouthing somebody in the line using a SNAP benefit or using WIC or using something to help put food on their family's table. Because each and every one of us is one slip and fall, one illness, one loss of job, one bad thing away from needing help. And it's easy to look down your nose at someone. You know, the old saying is, it's hard to pull yourself up when you're looking down on others. And this is one of those moments where, in talking earlier with Jason, the Red Hat crowd, they're a sizable group in this. You look at Louisiana, you look at Mississippi, you look at Alabama, you look at the southern states, you look at the red states, lots and lots of people who need SNAP benefits. And it's strange to me that the right wing media, well, I think they believe that their base is stupid, or the classic, it's not me, I'm deserving, it's those others that are not deserving. And the sad reality is that this is right where conservatives want us, fighting over who deserves to eat and who doesn't, who deserves medical care and who doesn't, who deserves to have a reasonable, functional, livable life, and those who don't. And my email box is full of those folks. people with anonymous names and anonymous email addresses sending me vile garbage, all to tear others down and make themselves look better. And maybe this is the negative of social media, because I don't think they would say it to me. I want to hear your thoughts, though. What do you think of 42 million people not getting the SNAP benefit at the beginning of the month? What do you think about those children, the elderly, the working poor? Will it spur a movement? We'll see. I want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A long road to recovery in Jamaica after Hurricane Melissa. Category 5 storm hit Tuesday, leaving at least 19 dead, but that number is expected to rise. Close to 500,000 Jamaicans remain without power, including Cydia Brown.
How do I feel? Traumatized, distressed. Nevertheless, we pray. We know that God is going to make a way. We trust him. But, I mean, the physical aspect of it, we need water. Because I left my home this morning, there is no water there.
Two federal judges ruled nearly simultaneously today that the Trump administration must continue to fund SNAP, the nation's biggest food aid program, using contingency funds during the government shutdown. The president suggested on social media that the government would need more clarity before complying with the court ruling. With air traffic controllers not getting paid during the shutdown, nearly half of all facilities are experiencing shortages. This is ABC News.